Welcome back to the Pitch Pod. I'm Jeff Stebbins. Today, Joe Janner sits down with us and we discuss the upcoming Manchester Derby. We get into the historical significance of the match and also discuss why both teams are struggling at the moment. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
But, you know, it's a pretty big deal, but with the Derby and everything.
Yes, I think that the season is always looking forward to this matchup.
Yes, yeah.
I think that no matter where they are in the standings, which is probably a little bit different than what we've seen over the course of even the last couple few years. I mean, look out, Manchester City is not at the top of the standings here, and well, look how far down Manchester United is.
Well, right there. I mean, how does that happen, Joe? How does Man City, this former dominant squad that won the treble not too long ago, I mean, how are they not at the top of the table?
I think the key factor is Rodri's dismissal, or him not being available due to injury. That, you know, a key component in terms of the midfield production is taking a hit there, and I mean, from that and what they want to do and what they have done, it's been something I think we're now seeing that the real impact and the real effect that particular player had on what they're doing, because after that, they just about have everybody else in place, so you can't get too far into it. But that's one aspect, I'd say. The other probably is that you're talking about potentially a situation where it's kind of the same old thing over. I mean, yeah, who gets tired of winning, right? But some complacency, right? But there is still a level of complacency in a performance-based activity, in an athletic, a sporting activity such as football. It's important that there's some sort of passion, there's some sort of drive, there's some sort of desire to continue to perform well. But when you want it repeatedly, you kind of wonder, you know, it's the same guys that's looking around at each other going, we're just doing this again. I mean, it's kind of, so I think some of that,
yeah,
whether, you know, on what level of psychology, I don't know, but I think that that's a legitimate part of it.
No, I think you have a point there. And, you know, offensively, they're still putting some goals away. It's more of the problem is giving up too many goals. And But it's interesting because Pep doesn't seem to have an answer for that, at least at the moment.
As far as the amount of goals allowed, you know, I'm looking there, goals allowed 21. There was just significantly more than
right.
Liverpool at the top of the table there. And, you know, you look, the goal differential being 6, and it's a little bit different than what they've had before, which is a concern. I think that's an important point. You're always going to, at any level, when you're giving up goals that you shouldn't be, you're going to continue to get the results not your way, and that's going to then lend itself to the points and where you sit on the standing. So maybe it's time to shift a little bit of their focus in training. Maybe, you know, well, I hate to say it, but I'm going to go ahead and suggest it. You know, Pep Guardiola is more of an attacking-minded coach, and you have to wonder how much his training sessions are without defensive principles, even at the highest levels. I think it's something that these players need to be reminded of, and I wonder if it's something that maybe he doesn't have in his toolbox or isn't as used to utilizing that.
Yeah.
And now that when you need to be thinking about that, and it's the messaging that goes along with that, and like, how do we do something different? It's a challenge at any level.
Yeah, I know. I think so. And maybe he's on the pitch during game day. He is kind of, like you said, he's offensive-minded, but maybe he hasn't really thrown down the throttle because they are giving up goals. And so maybe offensively they could do a lot more than what they are doing right now, but they have people being held back because of their defensive problems. So we'll have to wait and see how that one works itself out. But on the other end, right, Manchester Derby, we got two squads here. Well, Joe, the other squad in Manchester is also struggling a little bit. Not to say that Man City's in the same category as Man United, but 13th in the Premier League, Joe. Manchester United is 13th in the Premier League.
I mean, maybe we're looking to go how? Maybe we're looking to go why? Maybe we're looking to go, it can't be. Aside from the fact that, what now, over the last five, seven, I'll just say it, since the departure of Alex Ferguson, it's just not the Manchester United that many of us in our generation will say, I'll say, are used to, or any generation for that matter.
And Joe, that brings me to my next question. So is what we're seeing now, is it, you know, post Sir Alex Ferguson, is it that, or is this something different? Is it like a deeper valley? It's a post Ten Hag valley. Like, what is, where does this fall? But obviously the team is in shambles at the moment, but, you know, is this due in large part to Ten Hag's tenure? Or is this more of a bigger cultural thing, like you're alluding to, that started once Sir Alex left?
Yes, I think it's more of that.
Oh,
in a sense, yeah. I don't know that it's a recency issue.
Okay.
I mean, look, they got a result today, even in their Europa League. So it's not like they can't put together a squad and can't get results and do all right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bigger picture is, and I ask this question, and we talk about this often, is at the upper levels of the head coach or the manager of the team, what are those folks doing and talking about and prioritizing as far as getting the talent and the players that they need to get in to help the manager, whoever it is, be successful? And then from that, what are they doing when things are not going well? Are they, though I'll say it, are they holding on and not making a decision or not executing a decision quick enough for to appease somebody or to not be the board or not to be the directors that are making fast decisions or whatever about what needs to happen? I mean, maybe Ten Hag was in there too long, some would say. I think a lot of people said that, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what most people are saying is, yes, Ten Hag, that wasn't helpful and probably shouldn't have came back a third season, right? But at the same time, maybe any coach going into that place, that organization, for whatever reason, culturally, you name it, it's going to be a tough gig regardless. And really, when you look at the squad of players, yeah, there's a lot of big names, but, you know, something else that we've talked about recently is some of those players are getting older, right?
And that is partially, I think, some of what I was referring to there is how are they going, whether it be a shift in their philosophy of what talent and how the talent they're going to have in place is going to be developed, both within their academy, both within once those players reach the first team. And that's a oversight that, or rather, that's something that has to be managed at a much higher level than even the head coach or manager can have in place. That's a philosophical perspective, mm-hmm, that a club has to have and has to not only have but communicate and make sure that everybody from whatever, the guy managing the boots to the players to the coach to everybody, even maybe in some sense what the supporters need to have an understanding of what is going on for it to be, mm-hmm, successful. And I think that's partly what we're seeing there, is that maybe that's not, the identity of the club has been lost. And unfortunately, that trickles down to the ability of a manager to understand what they need to do and how they can utilize the talent that they have and get the most of the players and this and that. And the players are looking around going, what's my motivation for wanting to perform well for a club that's lost its identity? And it's not, doesn't mean as much to wear the Manchester United badge as it did some,
right,
time ago.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to watch, you know. You see this historic team and just kind of, seems like each week they get, you know, further down the chart than they were previously. So it, you know, but at the end of the day, it does seem like an organizational leadership problem. And until they fix that, I don't think we'll see the results on the pitch. So I'm sure that the fans of Man United are frustrated and ready for change and to move in a positive direction, which brings us to this match. And can they do it? Right? I mean, this would be a huge momentum shift for the club if they are able to do it. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know that just about every betting outlet has Man City as the heavy favorites, which makes sense. But, you know, could Man United come into this match and kind of pull off a surprise victory?
I I think that you, the word that you use there, it would be surprised. I don't think that. I don't think that that's in the script. I don't think that's in the reality. And I am looking here. The probability of Manchester United winning is 18%. Not good at all in terms of the reality of that. But hey. 18% is not 8%, and 8% is not 0% chance. That's why we're talking about this game, because there's still an opportunity for a Manchester United to go to Manchester City to outperform them, considering what we just said about Manchester City, where they're at and what they're doing, to win. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if I would put myself out there to suggest that it is. But I think it will be competitive. I think that this is a time of the year where you could see something like this occur, where Manchester United could, like I said, travel to Manchester City in this derby and get a result.
Right.
To win is maybe a little bit beyond their capability at this point in time. But I'd like to hear, Jeff, what do you think? I mean, as far as a prediction, where this is actually going to go.
Yeah, I think though you bring up some interesting points. And you know, if they did have a chance, I think it would probably be due to Man City's giving up goals, struggling defensively at the moment, and the fact that they're a good counterattack team, I think lends itself to, you know, I think they'll be in this match. I mean, I think if they could come away with a draw, that'd be huge. They obviously have some talented players, such as Rashford, Casemiro, but, you know, on the other side of the coin, before we get into our predictions, I mean, this game is also meaningful to Pep and Man City because, again, an opportunity to build momentum instead of just going into this match and squeaking by in this historic derby. What if they could send a message like, hey, maybe we're not the Man City of old, but we're still a top contender. And they show up and they just blow Man United, their former opponent, their former foe, out of the water. I think that would send a pretty strong message, don't you, Joe?
Well, yes, that, and they're set to do so. I mean, we didn't talk about Haaland, the fact that he still is. I mean, he's tied with Salah, but even as far as being able to score 13 goals at this phase of the season, still significant and a good number. So you always have that factor. And yes, so to make that happen in this particular game, at this particular part of the season, would be massive for them to get the win. And I can see that. I think what you're saying is true, that they, if all things are going well for them, they could have it, they could beat Manchester United pretty well. I mean, I think they have a good opportunity to do so.
Yeah, definitely multiple goals in this one, I feel like. And you mentioned Haaland and KDB, you know, maybe not having, again, the season that he had a couple of seasons ago, but still one of the top midfielders in the world. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun match. I do think it's meaningful for both squads just for different reasons. And I think I'm ready to make my prediction, but Joe, as it's Pitch Pod tradition, would you like to go first?
I got it. I think I may have all but said it.
Okay.
And, I mean, I hinted a little bit at this idea of Manchester United showing up and getting a result, getting a draw. But after thinking about Haaland and his ability, you know, I'll give him, he's got a goal in this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go that specific. I got another goal coming from run of play, just the way that they are able to do things. I don't know, maybe off a set piece to get two. Manchester United, I like the point that you made about being counter-attacking. I think I could see them picking up one in that very way. Now, how it goes down 1-1, 2-1, but that's the final for me. Manchester City is going to win this 2-1.
Yeah, no, I think that's a smart bet. And I do agree. I think Man City is a more talented team. I think right now there's more stability over there. So even though they're not at the top of the charts, surprisingly, I do think that they are the favorites in this one for a good reason. And I hope it's a good contest, but I have a feeling that Pep's going to motivate the squad in the locker room by whatever means. And again, I agree with you. I think Haaland's going to at least have one in this one. But I have a bigger goal differential. I have them winning this one 3-1.
Wow, yeah, that's right, yeah. So I think we're on the same page, at least with Manchester City, going to get the job done, going to get this win. You just probably even see them just maybe a little bit easier than I suggested.
I think it could be. I think so. But, well, hey, Joe, thank you for joining us here on the Pitch Pod. And as always, we hope everyone out there enjoyed listening and tuning in. And please give us a like and a subscribe if you get a chance. Till next time.